Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning. Can I get an amen on that? Lord, we praise you for your goodness and all of the wonderful things that you have done for us. And we know, Lord, that the mercy of the Lord endureth throughout all generations. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we are so thankful to be in the house of the Lord again to rejoice. You know, the psalmist said, I rejoiced, you know, at thy word as somebody that found great treasure. You know, so Lord, we rejoice at your word this morning, and we know that word, the entrance of it, brings light. And we ask the word of God this morning, by the Spirit of the living God, to bring light in our hearts, in the mighty name of Jesus. And that you will glorify yourself in the message of the Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory here this morning. And everybody says, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Are you ready to hear the word of God? All right. Thank you, Jesus. Now, today, I am going to speak for just a little bit on the times of refreshing. Amen. Praise God. And I'm going to start here in Job, the book of Job, chapter 14. You say the book of Job for that? Yep. The book of Job, chapter 14. And I'm going to start at verse 7. For there is hope of a tree. Amen. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Amen? Amen. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. You might call, you know, this, you know, message like the scent of water. Hallelujah. Now, what that scripture is saying is that when you cut down, when a tree is cut down and so forth, and it begins to wither away, you know, sometimes it looks like, you know, it's withered away. The root, even in the ground, may be rotten away and so forth. But he said there is hope. Because, you know, when you bring in some water, all of a sudden, the thing begins to revive. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, and that's what I'm going to talk about for just a few minutes here this morning. And then I'm going to pray, you know, for you at the end of the service, so you'll be believing God. Amen? Praise God. Turn with me to the book of Acts of the Apostles. And I am going to read just one verse here as we continue with this message. Now, keep your mind on the message of the Lord this morning, and let's see what the Lord is going to do for us in this message. Praise the Lord. Now, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and preached a powerful, powerful message. And he said in verse 19, repent ye. Well, this was actually after the day of Pentecost. This, you know, the first couple of chapters, the day of Pentecost, and then Acts chapter 3. Peter and John, you know, they were going to the temple and they healed the man that was sick and all of that, you know, that had been lame. And then Peter said, you know, these things, you know, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, I give unto you. So they did all that. And then the people got back later and say, wondered, you know, how they did all that. And so Peter began to explain it, you know. And in verse 19 of chapter 3, he said, repent ye and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of repression shall come from the presence of the Lord. Oh, the times of refreshing. Praise the name of the Lord. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible says there is a time for everything. There is a season for every purpose under heaven. There is a time to be born. There's a time to die, a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time for war, a time to love, a time to hate, a time to gather out stones, a time to build, a time to cast down. You know, there's a time for all of these things. Well, you know, it seems like sometimes, you know, the hard times prevail over the times of refreshing. But I want to tell you today that there are coming times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And the time is now. Hallelujah, somebody. You say, the time is now? Well, sure. Turn with me to Psalm 102. And I'm going to read what the psalmist said about, you know, his situation when he was distressed. And kind of like many of us are distressed today. And some of you might, you know, resemble the things that the psalmist had to say here in Psalm 102. He starts at verse 3. He said, "For my days are consumed like smoke." You know, I mean, he just said, you know, he looked and thinks, well, you know, he was just, he said, "And my bones are burned, you know, as I'm hurt. My heart is smitten." Is there anybody here this morning that your heart is burdened? He says, "It's withered even like the grass, so that I even forget to eat my bread." You know, he things are so bad. He lost his appetite. "By the reason of voice of the groaning within my bones that cleave to my skin, I'm like a pelican of the wilderness, like an owl of the desert. I watch, and I'm as a sparrow alone." You know, so he feels alone. He feels, you know, that God is distant and so far away, and he feels just dejected and alone. And oh my. And he said, "I'm alone upon the housetop. My enemies reproach me all day." Well, some of you might feel like that. "And they that are mad against me are sworn against me." I said, "I have written it in ashes like bread." I mean, my goodness. You know, I mean, his condition was really miserable. I mean, he ate ashes like bread. "And mingled my drink with weeping because of the indignation and the wrath of the Lord," he said, you know, and all of that. And he said, "Look, Lord, you have lifted me up and you have also cast me down." Well, you know, some of us might feel like that this morning. You know, sometimes you go up and sometimes you go down. You know, but life is full, people say, of ups and downs. But sometimes it seems like a lot of people are down more times than they are up. You know, and then, you know, because of being down for so long, sometimes people forget the times that they were up. And then they just, you know, forget because they are overwhelmed with the situation of being down. Well, I want to tell you, and I have some glad tidings for you today. Amen, somebody. Because the Bible says that when men are cast down, thou shalt say unto them that there is a lifting up. Amen, somebody. And I have a message of a lifting up for everybody in here this morning. Praise ye the name of the Lord. There is a reason why God allows the hard times and the good times. And he allows them both. Praise God. The Bible says that in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14, he says, "In the day of prosperity," that's when you are on the mountaintop, "be joyful." But you're going to come down to the valley sometimes. But he says also, "In the day of adversity, you should consider." So there's going to be plenty, there's going to be prosperity, and there's going to also be adversity. And why is the reason why there is both of these? Why can't we just have it good all the time? Well, the next sentence tells you why. He said, "Because God also has set the one over against the other." That means he has set them side by side. Amen? Oh yeah? You can't fault God for what he's doing. He's the all-wise God. Oh yeah. He has set them side by side, you know, to help each and every one of us remember the Lord all the time. So that we should find nothing after him. Because sometimes people forget. You know, sometimes, you know, when the going is good, some people might praise the Lord. Sometimes some people might even forget the Lord. And then all of a sudden, when challenges come their way, then they get a hold of God. You know, and so, you know, God will allow some of these things. You know, and God has his purpose. You know, there's a time, there's a season for everything. You know, there is a time for the night and there's a time for the day. Amen? Amen, somebody. In fact, in the book of Psalms 30 and verse 5, we are told that although sorrow may endure for a night, yet joy is coming in the morning. Hallelujah, somebody. That means the night can never last forever. At some point in time, the day must break. Praise God. But God has set the night and the day side by side. In fact, God is the one that gave the name night to the darkness. You can read all about it in Genesis chapter 1. When he created the light, the Bible says that the first day was when he did that. And he looked at it, he looked at the light, and the light was good, and the Lord liked the light. And then he said, he gave a name to the light, and he gave a name to the darkness, and he divided them both. And he said, he looked at it, and he called the light day, and he called the darkness night. But as I've said before, the Lord, he had the privilege when he commanded the light out of darkness. The Bible said, God, who commanded light out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. When he commanded that light out of darkness, he had the privilege of saying, let the darkness be no more. He had the privilege of saying that, but he did not. Hello? He didn't. If he would have said, let the darkness be no more, till this day, there would have been no more night. How many of you know that? But he didn't say that. In fact, he gave a name. See, so there's a purpose for God to keep the darkness and the light side by side. Amen, somebody? There's always going to be seasons and harvests and times and so forth like that. There's a planting time. There's a time to plant and the time to harvest. You can't harvest the same day you plant. Farmers will tell you that. Anybody who knows anything about that will tell you. Amen? There's going to be times that you will plant and you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to water it. You're going to have to do some things and all of that and so forth and cut away the weed and all that. Make sure that you keep watching over that and laboring and praying and hoping that you have a bountiful harvest. And even sometimes, right around just before the harvest, here comes a tempest. Here comes a blast. Here comes a storm. Wipe away your harvest. How many of you know that happens sometimes? Oh, yes. But do you give up or no? Next season, you plant again. Hallelujah, somebody. That's right. You don't say, this storm and so forth, Well, you might be down for a few, the farmers, they'll be down for a little bit. And they say, well, my goodness, this season, I just don't know, and so forth. But they'll go right back there. Amen. They'll go and, break off the fallow ground again next season. They'll go and do some more things and so forth like that, because they know that there is a season for everything. It's a season of planting and a season of harvest. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to tell you today, no matter what you're going through, no matter how you got there, amen, the Lord, he's got times of refreshing. Praise God. And I'm going to say to you this way, although the Lord has these things in the Word of God, and although sometimes we read these things in the Word of God, it takes the anointing of the Holy Spirit to energize that Word in your heart. Hallelujah, somebody. And that's what I'm going to do here today, is energize that Word. The spoken Word is the original seed. It's already there, and so forth, But sometimes that word is not quickening if it's not mixed by faith. But when it is mixed by faith and you get the anointing of the Holy Spirit just right, great things can happen. And let me say it to you this way. This is how the Lord wanted me to say it to you this way this morning. The Spirit of our Lord God is upon me. And that's in Isaiah 61. Praise God. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach these glad tidings to you today. Amen, somebody. Oh yes, and let me see. Let's see here all the things that the Lord has sent me to do. Because Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Amen? That's right. To preach glad tidings to the meek. To bind up the brokenhearted. That means God will even heal the sorrow of heart. You know, I mean, he'll do that. You know, you're brokenhearted, you know, and so forth. Like God will heal that. Proclaim liberty to the captives. Oh my. Opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Oh yes. The day of vengeance of our God against the enemies of God's people. Hallelujah. And to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn. See, now here's coming, you know, a change. And God's fixing to change something. See. The mourning is fixing to change. He's going to bring in beauty for ashes. He's going to bring in the oil of joy for mourning. He's going to bring in the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. For one reason, so that you all might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that he, the Lord, might be glorified. Everything that God does is that he might be glorified. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something here too. The reason why people suffer long in their afflictions and their situations, and where, you know, how they, why they don't quickly get into the times of refreshing that God could bring, you know. And one of the reasons is that sometimes people accept the condition that they are in, and they just get, you know, to accept it. You know, somebody might, you know, be in an affliction of sickness, and it gets to where the medical science and all of these things, they help you to manage your pain. You know, amen? That's what they do. Help you manage your pain. You know, and you know, so eventually you just accept that condition and then you just remain like that. And Jesus, one time the Bible said, you know, Jesus knowing that this man had been long time in that condition. Jesus knows that you have been long time in the condition that you are in. Amen? Oh yes. Perhaps you've been long time in it. You know, maybe it's not a sickness. Maybe it's a situation of being out of work or out of this or whatever it is. You know, the thing goes on so long. We've helped, you know, being with, you know, many homeless people and, you know, try to help them and so forth. You know, we've seen, you know, the thing goes for so long, you know, that some of them actually lose hope. You know, they just accept the situation that they are in and so forth like that. You know, and they just stay, you know, and they think that there is no hope. But I want to say today, that there is hope of a tree. Even though it be cut down through the scent of water. Oh yes, that it might, you know, bud again. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now I want to tell you that God knows everything in advance. And if you don't believe that God knows everything in advance, then you don't know the Lord at all. Amen, somebody? You know, I like to say it this way. I say, God cannot acquire any new knowledge. Amen? You cannot learn anything new. You know, sometimes God speaks to us in a language that we can understand because he deals with us as human beings and so forth. So he thinks as if, you know, you might look as if God is knowing something or learning something or finding something out. Oh, no, no. He knows the end from the beginning. Praise God. He is eternal that way. You know, he declares the end from the beginning. And I'll even give you an example here of, you know, God even knows the sufferings and the challenges that you are going to face even way before those things ever happen to you. You think so? Absolutely. Take a look at Genesis chapter 15. And after the Lord appeared to Abraham and said in verse 1, he said, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And then he began to tell him, you know, some of the things that will happen to him. At this time, he didn't even have a child. He didn't even have the promise. You know, God was just giving him the promise and all the things and so forth. And, you know, he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, the Bible says in verse 6 of Genesis 15. But listen to what, you know, listen to what he told him in verse 13 of Genesis 15. The Lord said to Abraham, now this was Abraham, he hadn't even changed his name to Abraham yet. He didn't even have a child. He didn't have Isaac, let alone Israel, let alone, you know, all those tribes. He didn't have any of those. But here's what the Lord told him. Know of a surety that thy seed, which he didn't even have a seed yet, shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. And they shall afflict them 400 years. I mean, Abraham might have thought, you know, well, why don't you give me a seed first before you start talking about the suffering that they're going to have? You know, because he didn't even have a child at this point. And yet the Lord predicted, you know, because God, he already foreknew everything. How many of you can say praise the Lord? And he told him, look, you know, this is going to happen. Your seed is going to go down to a land. They'll be a stranger there. And they will be oppressed for over 400 years. Oh my. He told him, you know. But he also said in verse 14, but that nation, hallelujah somebody, that nation that oppressed them, oh, I'm going to judge them. Praise God. You know, and God said, you know, I'm going, that nation, you know, that, you know, oppressed them and made them to serve, I'm going to judge them, and afterward, my people shall come out with great abundance. Amen. You know, God foresees everything. And he tells Abraham here of the hard times that are coming, but he also told him of the time of refreshing. He told him of the time of deliverance that is coming. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many of you can say praise the name of Jesus? Oh yeah, but here is what the Lord wants you to do. Praise God. You know, here is what the Lord wants you to do. You know, in Exodus chapter 3, God is going to explain something also why, you know, sometimes long time affliction goes on for long time. Well, he's going to explain it, and I'm going to explain it to you here also. The reason why long time affliction sometimes goes on for a long time is explained here in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7. This is the place where God called Moses at the burning bush, and God is fixing to send him as a deliverer to Israel in Egypt. And so God is going to tell him something here. You know, after he told him, you know, this is a holy ground and so forth like that, don't, you know, take off your shoes and all that. Some of you know the story. So he tells him in verse 7 of Exodus chapter 3. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction. Now, you know, if you go Genesis, the one we just read, now over here, now this, you know, all that has happened. Abraham has had Isaac, Isaac has had, you know, Jacob has had, you know, all his 12 sons and so forth. And, you know, and one of them was Joseph, and his brothers conspired against him, sold him to Egypt and all of that. And, you know, and finally, you know, he became, you know, vice president or prime minister of the land. And, you know, they all came there, and the you know, the Pharaoh that knew him, you know, gave them all kinds of wonderful things, and they were all blessed because God exalted him and gave him favor. Finally, that Pharaoh died, and another one came up that didn't know Joseph and so forth, and, you know, turned all of Israel that came down, because, you know, Joseph finally invited his family to come down. They became a great nation within a nation. But the tables turned around, and they were oppressed. They made them slaves. They did all kinds of things, and it went for centuries. And finally, they lost sight of everything that was God. They even forgot, you know, everything. You know, so this man Moses, even when God sent him, he's like, you know, I mean, who am I to set these people free? But God's going to explain an important principle here in verse 7. He said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Now, this is after they've been afflicted for all this time, you know, 400 years, you know. And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, you know, and so forth like that, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them to a land that is good and is a large place flowing with milk and honey. Amen? Amen. But the thing was this. The whole time that they were in affliction. See, they didn't cry unto the Lord. So, the Lord just let them be. Because he said, I have seen their affliction. Well, it wasn't their affliction that moved God to do anything. Hello? Some of you might think that's a little callous, but I'm going to tell you the truth right now. It is not your affliction that's going to make the Lord to deliver you. You must cry unto the Lord. If you stay in your affliction, you don't cry unto the Lord, well, the Lord will say, well, fine. You know, I'm here when you need me. Amen? So these folks down there, you know, they were having a good time initially, and then finally when they began to oppress them, they started losing some of their privileges, and finally they got into slavery and all of that, and generation went by generation, and generation went by generation, and finally they forgot who they were. They forgot that they were the people of God. Amen? Oh, the affliction went so long, they even forgot the name of Jah. Oh my. They forgot his name. You know, but by the time, you know, Moses came on the land, they didn't even know his name anymore. You know, my goodness. You know, and the affliction went on for so long, but they didn't cry unto the Lord. Well, finally, praise the name of Jesus. Finally, they said, we cannot take it anymore. Send us, oh Lord, a deliverer. Oh my. They started to cry unto the Lord. And the Lord said, now I have heard their cry. He saw their affliction the whole time. But they didn't cry unto the Lord. You know, you say, well, my goodness. Well, that's the truth too. You can sit down in your affliction. If you don't cry unto the Lord, he may not do anything. But I guarantee you, if you get a hold of God, oh my goodness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because his mercy is with them that cry unto him. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, as long as you are comfortable, well, maybe not comfortable, but you accept your situation, and you don't cry unto the Lord, there may not come times of refreshing. Or the times of refreshing may be delayed. But if you can get a hold of the Lord, then the Lord will hear your cry. Not only has he seen your affliction, he will hear your cry when you cry unto him. And he said, now I am come down to deliver. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I want to tell you something here that, you know, this man, they called him a wise man, you know, that wrote some of these Ecclesiastes and so forth like that. You know, there was some evil that he saw that he didn't like at all. So let me read one of it to you, and I don't like it either, neither does the Lord. And here it is in verse Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I'm going to read to you in verse 7. And I'm going to challenge you today. Amen. And in fact, the Lord, he gave me a word this morning, and I'm going to speak it to you in a few minutes. And I was sitting down there in the office and just thinking, you know, about the message and so forth like that, you know, and he gave me a word. Hallelujah, somebody. How many of you know the Lord speaks to us? Oh yes, praise God. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 7. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. And he said, this is a great evil. Amen. Praise God. And the Lord, he told me this morning, this is what he told me. He said, I am the Lord, and I will restore you, saith the Lord, to your rightful positions with me. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. I will restore you to your rightful position. You should be the prince on the horse. The servant should be the one walking. Why is the table turned? Or I should say, why are the tables turned? Why is it the servant that's on the horse and the prince that's the one that is walking? No, that's a vanity. That's a misplacement of whatever you want to call it. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I need some princes, hallelujah, yeah, to rise up, you know, and say, get off that horse. That belongs to me, amen? Yeah. And take that horse and ride that horse because you are the prince. How many of you ever seen a kingdom, you know, those of us, some of you live here in America and so forth, you may not know anything about kings and stuff like that, you know. But in Africa, we know that, you know. Amen? You know. But even here too, we have, you know, a system of governments and so forth. You know, you can't find a king, you know, and so forth, you know, being the one. I mean, let's say the king is supposed to be riding the chariot and so forth, and then the king is the one that's, you know, that's, or the prince, you know, is the one that's, you know how they walk along the chariot and so forth. So the prince is the one that's walking along the chariot, and then the servant is sitting down inside the chariot, you know. No, that just doesn't work. There's something wrong with that picture. Amen? Amen? There is something wrong with that picture. And that is exactly the picture that I see with the people of God. See? The people of God are like these princes that are walking as servants on the earth. Whereas the servants are riding upon the horses. Oh my. The time has come, saith the Lord. The appointed time, the set time. And I'm going to go back to Psalm 102 and read that to you. Go back to Psalm 102 for just a few minutes. The appointed time has come. You know, after the psalmist, he grieved and said all of those things. He said, you know, that he said in Psalm 102, he even said here, you know, he said, my days, in verse 11, are like a shadow that declineth. I am withered like the grass. You know, he said all of that, but he had enough sense to turn to the Lord. But he said, but thou, O Lord, shall endure forever. And thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise. And this is a prophetic declaration here this morning. The Lord shall arise and have mercy upon Zion. Oh, you know who Zion is. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says we are not come unto, you know, all these things and so forth, but heavenly Mount Zion. Oh, that's you. Amen. The Lord shall have mercy upon his people. For the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come, saith the Lord. The time that God's princes shall no longer be walking on the earth as servants, when the servants are riding their horses, the set time has come. Hallelujah, somebody. And those nations and those whatever that oppress you, God will judge them. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, God knows what he's doing. You know, in fact, here's how the Lord works. Now, this wasn't a part of my message, but the Lord just put it in my heart. So I'm just going to say, you know, when the people of God, when they are walking in his ways and keeping all of his statutes and giving ear to all of his commandments and obeying the voice of the Lord their God, then God blesses them. He makes them fruitful and he makes them to prosper. When they go away from the Lord, then the Lord, he raises people up to judge them. Amen? Oh yeah. You know? Oh yeah. The Lord will set, you know, all of that. You've seen it throughout the Bible. And he said all these things, kings and everything against them to oppress them. Oh yeah? The Lord will do that. But after the Lord is done judging, you know, I mean, after the Lord is done using those people, you know, to teach his people a lesson, then he will turn around. Because the Lord has said, touch not mine anointed. And to my prophets. See, the Lord is the only one that can command, you know, the chastising upon his people. Now, he may use people of the world to do it, but after he's done using them, he's going to turn around and teach them not to touch his anointing. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, yeah. That story we see clearly with the story in Egypt. God hardened the heart of Pharaoh and did all of that and so forth. Of course, he predicted it years in advance, you know, to Abraham and so forth. And after he did all of that, then he turned around. My goodness. Praise God. God used Pharaoh and all of that to punish those people because, you know, they wouldn't listen. You know, they forgot him and so forth. You know, when they were down there in Egypt, they guys things got so good. You know, when Joseph brought them in and they forgot his name. They actually forgot his name. So finally, you know, Moses had to say, look, they're going to say, which God? Which God sent you? Because now they have even forgotten his name. You know? And he said, I am that I am. Oh my goodness. That's all you need to say. Because they don't even remember any other name. You know? Oh my. But after the Lord gone punishing them for all of their, you know, walking away from the Lord and forgetting and so forth, he now turned around and punished that nation that afflicted them. That's how the Lord works. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And I want to say to God's princes that are in the house today, that it is time for you to get on the horses and no longer be walking while the servants are on the horses. Hallelujah, somebody. The set time, the time to favor her has gone. And the Bible says here in verse 16 of Psalm 102, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Oh, hallelujah. My goodness. He said, you know, that he will, these will be written for the generation to come. Oh my. And the people that shall be created shall praise the name of the Lord. My goodness. In here this morning, you know, I am going to make a call to prayer. And I'm going to remind you that this is the word of the Lord unto you today. Wherein he said, I am the Lord, and that is my name, and I will restore my people to their rightful position with me. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you are here this morning, and you know that you are not where you need to be, you have been afflicted, or you are being afflicted, and I want to say to you, it doesn't matter how you got in there. It could be as a result of the enemy buffeting you. It could also be as a result of bad choices that you made in the earlier part of your life. You know, there was a man in Luke chapter 15, a young man. He made some very bad choices. He said, give me my inheritance right now. And he went and squandered it and made all kinds of bad choices. And then after he did all of that, riotous living and, you know, harlots and all kinds of things, you know, he brought all the evil upon himself. And he degenerated. Now, he was a man that was doing very well. But he degenerated into wanting to eat the food of pigs. And they wouldn't even give it to him. But the Bible says the best part of the story, I love that story every time I read it, but the best part of the story, as far as I'm concerned, is it says, and when he came to his senses. Yeah. Hallelujah, somebody. That's right. One day, he came to his senses, and he said, in my father's house, servants are riding horses. Where am I, the prince, in here suffering? I will arise. Hallelujah, somebody. I will arise, and I will go to my father. Now, he said, I am going to call upon my father, and I'm going to ask for his mercy. Praise God. Well, the whole time that he was down there, he didn't call upon his father. The father left him alone, you know. But of course, the father was looking out every day. The father used to ask the son, you know, you say, is that in the Bible? No, but the Spirit of the Lord showed it to me. Amen? He used to ask the other son, have you heard from your brother? He said, which brother? Forget him, you know. So the man, he asked every day, you know, and he was always looking to see, you know, knowing that he's going to come back. Amen? So one day he saw him afar off because he was always waiting for him to come back. Praise the name of the Lord. That's right. Oh my. One day he came to his senses. He said, I will no longer rot away here as a servant. He said, in fact, you know, servants in my father's house are better than this. So I want to tell you today, it doesn't matter how you got there. It doesn't matter whether it's a buffeting of the enemy, you know, circumstances or whatever. It could even be something that God, you know, of course God has to allow it, you know, like the day and the night and the, you know, darkness and the, you know, and so forth like that and the light. But I want to tell you here this morning that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And has anointed me to bring these glad tidings to you this morning. Praise God. And I want to ask you to call upon the name of the Lord this morning. Don't try to deliver yourself, you know, just by yourself. Because the Bible says, it is not by might, nor by power, saith the Lord. But it is by my Spirit. And this mountain shall be removed by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. But there is a part that you must play. The part that you must play is for you to wake up and say, I am a prince and I don't belong. Walking when servants are riding. The part that you must play is the one where he said in Isaiah 52, he said, shake thyself from the dust around thy neck. Hallelujah, somebody. That's the part that you must play. Hallelujah. And my part this morning is to believe the Lord with you. Now, if you are here this morning and you say, you know, I need a breakthrough. Praise God. Changing that right now. I need a breakthrough. Praise God. I'm going to pray for some of you. Pray with some of you this morning. I'm praying for some of you as well. You know, if you want that breakthrough and you know that it is time and you believe that I spoke the word of the Lord here this morning. Amen? Then I want you to take that step, the next step of faith. I'm going to invite you to this altar right here to come and cry unto the Lord. Now never mind how you got to the situation that you are in. Because God has already seen your affliction. He knows your affliction. In fact, he saw their affliction way ahead, even before they got down to Egypt. He knew about it. I'm going to invite you to come and call upon the name of the Lord. Now cry unto the Lord. You've got to get a hold of the Lord. And if anybody, you know, anything in your mind is trying to tell you, well, you can't shout, you can't cry, you know, and you need to shout the more. That's how blind Bartimaeus he did when he said, Jesus, have mercy. They told him, shut up. And he cried out the more. I want you to get a hold of God this morning. Cry out. If you want to stand up, if you want to kneel at the altar, if you want to lie down, whatever you want to do, you know, you do whatever you want to do. And you cry unto God. And then I'm going to pray for some of you. And let's see what God is going to do here this morning. Praise God. Because it is time for your deliverance. It is time for you to be set free. It is time for you that you should no longer be bound and taken captive by the things that the enemy has posed against you. The time to favor God's people is now. Hallelujah. Now is your time. Now is your time. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I want to invite you to receive this message of glad tidings. I invite you to receive this message of glad tidings in your life this morning. I say, now is my time, Lord. Hallelujah. I receive my rightful position as a prince with God. The Bible called Jacob a prince with God because he wrestled with God all night in prayer. He wasn't going to take no for an answer. The man said, I don't have a blessing for you. He said, oh no, not today. You're going to bless me or you're not going anywhere. And he wrestled with God, with the angel of the Lord, all night long. And finally, he said, you are a prince with God. For you to be a prince with God, you must know how to wrestle with God in prayer. You must know how to cry unto God and get a hold of God. Don't just take your situation for granted. Don't just take it like that. Don't accept anything less than what the word of God has said about you. You are his princes. You are his chosen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, 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 Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to pray for some of you. And let's believe the Lord together and let's see the power of God walk in this place today. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. I want everybody to say with me, the Lord is good. And his mercy endureth forever. I want you to say again, the Lord is good. And his mercy endureth forever. Now, I want to remind you that the Lord, he planted a good seed. It is an enemy that has done this. Don't put a blame on the Lord. You know, the Lord is good. It is the enemy that has done this. And we are going to Let the enemy know that it is enough.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take authority over the enemy that has kept you behind God's place that you should be. Amen? Because that enemy has broken the word of God. He has touched God's anointed. Therefore, it is now time for God to judge the enemy. Praise the name of Jesus. But the word of the Lord wants me to tell you this morning, the Lord will do all of this that you are asking for today when your own obedience is fulfilled. And that's thus saith the Lord. Your own obedience must be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. For the Bible says that our weapons are not carnal through God. They are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and all these things and so forth that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, and bringing them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And every thought that is in your head that is contrary to what God has said about you, I want you to begin to bring it into captivity to the obedience of the word of God. I want you to begin to say, I am a prince with God. Hallelujah. And I don't belong in Egypt. I belong in the promised land. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. I belong in the promised land. I don't belong in Egypt. I don't belong, walking upon the earth when the servants are riding in my chariot that belongs to me. I will take my position with the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I charge every one of you here this morning, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, and if you will do that which is right in His sight, and if you will give ear to His commandments, and if you will do all and keep all of His statutes and walk before the Lord in your all your days, then I proclaim the times of refreshing upon you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I proclaim the times of refreshing upon you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. I proclaim the times of refreshing upon you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I proclaim the times of refreshing upon you in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, the times of refreshing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The times of refreshing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I proclaim the times of refreshing for you in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I proclaim the times of refreshing for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Receive in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I proclaim the times of refreshing for you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For everyone that is here, I proclaim the times of refreshing for you in the name of Jesus. I proclaim the times of refreshing for you in the name of the Lord Jesus. That you will take your rightful place.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. I proclaim the times of refreshing for you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I proclaim the times of refreshing for you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, praise the name of the Lord Jesus. I proclaim the times of refreshing for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I proclaim the times of refreshing for you in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I proclaim the times of refreshing for you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The times of refreshing in the name of Jesus. The times of refreshing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I proclaim the times of refreshing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I proclaim for you the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I ask, Lord, a special anointing upon this family. And Lord, I proclaim the times of refreshing.
Thank you, Lord.
Upon them in Jesus' name. The oil of gladness.
Hallelujah.
And the garment of praise.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I ask the Lord for a special blessing for you. The times of refreshing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I ask the Lord for a time of refreshing upon your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. A time of refreshing. A time of refreshing. A time of refreshing. Hallelujah. Praise God. And everybody says, hallelujah. Give the Lord the praise and the glory in the house. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Come on, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. He deserves a bigger hand clap than that. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.